no one watch me do this.
High Mystery.
Like meatloaf, we're a bat out of hell. Today is High Mystery. This is the podcast where we smoke weed, we talk about mysteries. My name is Robert.
I'm Colin.
I'm Ariana.
I'm Tristan.
And I'm Holly.
And today we will be smoking one of my blunts. I've got a honey pot swirl high hemp wrap packed with tangy.
Boom, boom, boom.
Honey.
Boom.
Is somebody else going to smoke?
We're also going to be smoking. I was sitting with that. We're also going to be smoking this King Palm little mini roll packed with New York Sour Diesel.
New York Sour Diesel.
Wow. There it is. There it is.
Get some of that East Coast love. I will be doing a mystery today and smoking this one.
I thought you were going to break out into song or something. I have a mystery today. I liked it.
Robert ever breaks out in song. He came close, actually, just now.
Yeah, I mean...
That was a...
It was like a spoken word, almost.
Yeah.
Very Shatner about it.
Spark this blunt. I will spark this blunt.
I would love to hear him do, like, some slam poetry.
Mm. Well, he has his album. Have you heard his album?
Albums.
Slam poetry?
I've got a sign.
Very specific poetry. I'm talking, like, bongos.
I think he did an Experian commercial like that, maybe. Or
he did,
Priceline.
Yeah, he did several where he was just doing
spoken word.
Spoken word.
Nice. Songs,
like a lounge act.
I'm late to the party.
Yeah, get in the Shatner mix, man. Get a little more Shatner in your life.
So, I have sparked it.
The blunt has been sparked.
Today we will be doing part 4.
Yes. Oh, really?
In a 5-part series, Deals with the Devil.
Bobby.
Deals with the Devil.
Well, I was walking around and I was looking at stuff. I was worried that I might end up rough because I saw him coming down the way. It was Beelzebub and he was looking at me and said, hey, it was Bobby's Deals with the Devil.
Today, we're going to be talking about artists. There have been four?
Yeah, Marilyn Manson.
Four or five, I can't see. Painter Christoph Haseman, composer Giuseppe Tartini.
Oh, Giuseppe Tartini.
Poor Italians.
Sorry.
Composer Niccolo Paganini.
Paganini. Oh.
Composer Philippe Mussard.
Okay.
Not to be confused with Philippe Mustard.
No. Mm.
The little known Clue character.
Christoph Haseman was a 17th century Austrian painter. Haseman was an impoverished painter when he lost a parent in 1668. He had sold his soul to the devil in order to be his son for 9 years.
So wait, he sold his soul to the devil to become his son?
Yes, to become Satan's son.
Become his own son. Right.
No, he just wants to be Damien.
I'm my own son.
I was like, man, that's really harsh to like rob your own son of his youth.
Yeah, where does your son go for those 9 years? Is he just screaming inside the body?
Like every
like
once
the Jordan Peele movie?
Every once in a while he plays a song and you hear the real truth of what's going on. Like that Rick and Morty episode.
I'm dying here.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get out.
Yeah, exactly.
After the 9 years, Haseman's body and soul would belong to the devil.
And why 9 years?
That's what they agreed on. You know, they're
like he started at like
yeah, give me 20, and they're like, no, you don't get 20 years of pleasure.
You're only
she knows why it's 9.
Okay, It's 3 times 3.
And all the, like, myths and, like, old stories and stuff, number 9 is always chosen as, like, the ultimate number.
Well, it's like the end of a cycle.
An iteration of 9, like 999, but 9 is, like, the edge of the first 10 numbers, like, before it reaches 10. It's like sacred geometry, like mathematics shit.
And 10 is just a abbreviation of, like, yeah.
Like, 10 is when you get back to 1, but, like, at the next level.
Yeah, 10 is good, because it's broken down. Wait, right? 10
9
is good?
9 is, like, the horizon level. Yeah. It's the horizon the before it hits. Yeah, it's, like, the precipice. The ultimate. It, like, encompasses all the other numbers. And then once it reaches 10, it's, like...
And if you take the number 666... add all the 6s together, it makes 18. 1 plus 8, 9.
Exactly.
Boom.
9 is like the ultimate number. Like when somebody is serving an ultimate punishment, the number 9 will show up. Or like an ultimate
cat of nine tails, the thing
exactly.
They would whip people.
Something that is
nine
like
letters
the
of hell,
ultimate
levels of
whatever
hell?
It is. Like whether
seven.
It be...
7 letters of hell.
Well, there's Cloud 9, but that's a good thing. That is part of heaven.
In Dante's Hell, it's 7 layers.
Is it?
I'm pretty sure.
I think so.
7. Yeah. Each of the 10 numbers has its, like, archetypal principles that
for sure.
are associated with it. 7 is about, like, it's called the virgin number. It's about, like...
7's the number of divinity.
Yeah. Each of them have, like, a whole bunch of shit associated with them.
6 is the number of, like, evil. 3 is the number of significance. So, like, if something happens 3 times, it's
mm-hmm.
significant.
Mm. It's a pattern. It's established.
I know
comedy taught us that.
It goes into 9, 3 goes into 9.
Also, to speak to 9, it's the number, it's for music theory, everything is, like, a derivative of 9. So, like, that's that John Lennon song, number 9,
mm-hmm.
that's what he's talking about, is that music theory principle. And that's when we talk about, like, a major 7 chord.
Mm-hmm. Well, to be fair, he's also talking about the fact that Paul McCartney died. And to be fair.
Yes, Paul was just there. He was dead, so we had to do something.
Exactly.
We had to cover it up.
Exactly.
Paul was the walrus, you see.
Haseman claimed to have signed 2 texts to the devil, one written in ink and the other in blood.
Oh, I'm just mad you transitioned before I could do George
Haseman. In 1677, when his pacts were due, he became anxious and made a pilgrimage to Mariazell? I don't know. to get and after a successful exorcism, was handed his blood contract back to him by the devil.
You know, we always do love to hear when about exorcists getting work. So, you know, if you're an exorcist, we're rooting for you. We hope you're getting lots of jobs. Just, you know, do us a favor, drop us a line. Let us know how you're doing.
And in this case, very fortunate and favorable turn of events.
Oh, yeah, he did a great job. Yeah, I mean, we'll tout you. We'll shout out.
Let it be known that High Mystery supports all cryptozoologists, exorcists, and, you know, any podcast or two. Why not?
Yeah. But in 1678, the demonic infestation continued to manifest within him.
I should have listened to the whole story before I died.
Haseman went back to Mariazell for another exorcism to retrieve his ink pact.
Sometimes you gotta go for a follow-up exorcism. Like, you get your teeth whitened, and then they're like, you can come back in 2 weeks, and we'll do a shorter session. Make it last.
You just gotta make sure you get all versions of the contract. You know, you can't just tear up one contract. If they still have a copy, the contract's still valid.
Mm-hmm.
Haseman would often have visions of the devil, and he kept a diary of their interactions. The devil would commonly be depicted in his paintings through an autobiographical storyline.
Mm.
Haseman's neurosis was a case study for prominent psychiatrists, including Sigmund Freud.
Interesting.
I'll study. That's not what Sigmund sounds like. I'll study. There we go. I got it. Ooh, ah. Got Gotta get the W into a V and it all works.
Giuseppe Tartini.
Oh, so that was that end?
That was the end of that guy.
Alright.
And that was the end of him.
Do you have any paintings that I can look at to see his, like, devil paintings? I want to see what the devil and him are up to.
Alright, yeah. I can definitely bring those up.
Do it.
Nice.
Not now, because I'm doing a podcast.
Right. Oh, you're busy.
What was his name again? The first guy?
It was Christoph Haseman.
Christoph Haseman.
Yeah.
All right.
Giuseppe Tartini was an Italian Baroque composer and violinist in the 18th century. During his study of music, he secluded himself from the world for months, where he would not be seen until he emerged as one of the world's finest musicians.
I mean, that's just practice.
How do you get to Carnegie Hall?
Right?
Dedicated to you.
No dates. No hobbies. No life except for that one thing.
You live and breathe.
Oh my gosh.
He would go on to compose one of the greatest pieces of music, a sonata called The Devil's Trill.
Love a good sonata.
Even by today's standards, it is considered one of the most difficult scores to play. Many composers have speculated that the only way he could have created such a masterpiece was if he had six fingers on his hand, or if he were possessed by the devil.
Oh.
Moments before...
Did he have six fingers?
No.
No, okay. Just making sure, you know. I honestly think six fingers would make it a little harder.
I mean, if you know how to work all six.
That's the thing. Like, is it a really good functioning six finger, or is it just
a
weird knob?
No, it functions.
It functions. It functions. Six. Good.
Moments before his death, Tartini gave an interview explaining how he came to compose his famous sonata. This is what he said. One night in the year 1713, I dreamed I had made a pact with the devil for my soul. Everything went as I wished. My new servant anticipated my every desire. Among other things, I gave him my violin to see if he could play. How great was my astonishment on hearing a sonata so wonderful and so beautifully played with such great art and intelligence as I had never even conceived in my boldest flights of fancy. I felt enraptured, transported, enchanted. My breath failed me, and I awoke. I immediately grasped my violin in order to retain, in part at least, the impression of my dream. In vain! The music which I, at this time, composed is indeed the best that I ever wrote, and I still call it the devil's trill. But the difference between it and that which so moved me is so great that I would have destroyed my instrument and had said farewell to music forever if it had been possible for me to live without the enjoyment it affords me.
It's like that Tenacious D song where they write the song about the greatest song in the world, but they can't remember what it
this
was.
This is not the greatest song in the world, no. This is just a tribute. Do you have a little of the devil's trill?
I do not.
Don't worry. Lee Collins on the case.
By the way, we saw some devil pictures, and I will say he depicted his devil with very large breasts, which I thought was interesting.
What? I was just going to say, throwback to my Ancient Aliens episode, but the devil is an alien.
Mm-hmm.
Ancient.
An ancient.
Ancient alien.
Exactly.
It's actually, like, a lot more beautiful and less, like, intense.
Than right?
He said it was beautiful. He said it moved him so much and that it was beautiful.
Well, we don't have time to listen to the whole 15
it's
minutes.
It's already, though.
I mean,
yeah.
I expected much more
Let's
intensity.
Let's get to the chorus, you know? The part that we can all, like, really latch on to.
So that's Giuseppe Tartini.
Yep.
Making music from the devil.
Yeah,
beautiful music.
Did they get punished already? Like...
No, nothing exciting about their deaths.
Okay. They're not like burned at the stake like the previous guys.
So it sounds like these deals worked out all right.
Yeah.
This is all slower in a day and age when you probably wouldn't be burned at the stake or anything like that.
It's later on.
Yeah.
Are aliens not way more intelligent than us and talented and capable of doing crazy ass shit?
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying like these are just aliens who picked up a violin?
Or no.
Or like started composing.
Or came to them in a dream.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Telepathically, like they linked up to the general consciousness.
An alien pops down and is like, hey bro, I noticed you're trying to do the piano.
Right?
you're really trying.
I'm
trying.
That's cute. That's real cute.
We should help you out there.
Let me show you how a smart person would do it.
Let me teach you a little something about music theory.
Exactly.
It's about the nines.
So, Niccolo Paganini was an early 19th century Italian violinist, violist, guitarist, and composer.
Oh.
It was believed that Paganini's mother sold her son's soul to the devil, as she had her heart set on him being the most accomplished violinist ever.
Or is she just like an insane show mom? She just wanted him to be this musician so bad that she just like basically beat it into him.
Yeah.
Maybe
she did that and sold it to the devil.
Or just told the kid, look, I sold your soul to the devil, so you better be good or he's coming for you. If you're not the best, he's taking it.
And I mean, he truly was. He revolutionized modern violin technique.
Like, he was the first one to, like, put it up against his chin and, like...
Just holding it at arm's length.
Yes!
Well, I'm not a musician or anything, but one thing he was able to do, he was able to play 3 octaves across 4 strings in a hand span, which is an extraordinary feat, even by today's standards.
He just had, like, big hands or dexterous fingers?
Yeah. He was also capable of playing 12 notes per second, a feat only matched by the violinist that portrayed him in the film adaptation of his life. So
nice.
Only one other person can do this.
And there is a movie, right? The Devil's Violinist.
I mean, talk about perfect casting. That only one other person could do this. Yeah. Happened to look similar, happened to work out, happened to be available at that time.
Mm-hmm. This is also an episode of Futurama too. Fry gets the robot hands of the devil and is able to play the hologram.
Yep.
Holophone.
Yeah.
There
to
it
express
is.
His
holophone
true love.
Or if I'm not
the holophoner. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she loses her hearing, and it's kind of like that other thing.
Gift of the Magi.
Yeah. Yeah. Multiple
you
things
mean,
in one.
Boom,
what
boom,
you
boom.
Mean is Mickey Mouse Christmas.
Yes. That's where we all really learned the lesson.
I'm just fucking joking. It's the same story.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. These unnatural abilities could have been a result of Marfan syndrome or Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which affects joints and the growing or elongating of the bones.
Mm.
Paganini toured frequently and lived an extravagant lifestyle that caused him to pick up syphilis and tuberculosis, for which he was prescribed mercury and opium.
We all know mercury's the best cure.
Mercury, extra mercury in there. Pour it in.
I've got leeches and mercury. Who wants health?
Do you have super cocaine?
What's this super cocaine you speak of? Let's put some leeches and super cocaine together and see what happens.
Come around, children. Try some of this.
We're calling it Coca-Cola.
For your health.
In Vienna, an audience member claimed to have seen the devil helping Paganini on stage.
Like moving his finger over a little bit, like, there you go, bro.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you get all 4 off.
Some people have claimed to have seen Paganini wearing horns and cloven hooves.
Whoa.
Paying homage.
It was once said that during a concert, the devil had lightning strike the end of Paganini's bow.
That is a dope show. Could you imagine that?
Before dying of larynx cancer in 1840, Paganini refused to have a priest read him his last rites. his church refused to bury his body on consecrated ground. His embalmed body remained on his deathbed for years as it traveled through Europe. Then it stayed in the cellar of a house in Nice for a year.
Oh, God.
Then it was moved to a leper house.
Oh,
then
God.
To a cement vat in an olive oil factory.
Oh,
4 years after his death, Pope Gregory the 16th allowed him to be buried on consecrated ground in Italy.
I thought so you were like, now he's someone's coffee table.
How long was it in the olive oil factory?
It was in the olive oil factory for...
4 years?
Well, no. Yeah, I guess, yeah, 4 years after.
Holy balls.
Why is it on tour?
I know! And also, like, hey, I just came here to press olives. This dead body's making me... way uncomfortable. Can we talk about workers' rights and stuff? I don't know. We talked a lot about not being on an Indian or a Native American burial ground. And
that's the same. That's the same.
Like, there probably shouldn't be any bodies in the workplace either.
No.
But if it's one that made a deal with the devil, then it's like a lucky rabbit's foot.
Oh, yeah, okay. So
you just keep it in the corner, and it was the most prosperous.
Get some of that good devil juju.
Olive oil.
And the last artist.
Wait, I got a little clip of some of this crazy violin.
Nice.
It's already beautiful. Yeah, it didn't
perfect.
Work anymore, so that's perfect place to stop.
No, I think we should be a violin podcast. Yeah. I enjoy that. Can we just sit in silence and listen to music? That'd be fun.
So,
welcome back to Violin.
We got another track here. Got some violin.
Later we're going to be doing a surprise viola.
Ooh, very exciting. Very exciting.
Come back for that. Okay. Get yourself a cappuccino. It's time for violin.
It sounds like we belong on NPR or something.
Yeah, I know. It's got to be a soft podcast.
We hope you're not driving right now. Because we are often used as a sleep podcast. Yeah.
I mean, that might be our next angle, like, is to just do several parody podcasts where we're just pretending as characters the whole time. I like that idea.
All right.
Coming next month.
Coming to our
podcast.
Patreon.
Yeah.
Philippe Musard was a mid-19th century French composer and virtuoso who helped develop and popularize the promenade concert. Promenade concerts are ones in which the audience is free to move around as opposed to staying seated.
Like, oh, you want to get up, get a drink, do whatever? Cool, I don't mind. Go for it. You have to give me all your undivided attention.
Move and dance. Yeah. His concerts were described in 1837 as a musical paradise in a spacious, half-furnished with mirrors, couches, ottomans, statues, fountains, and floral decorations, and at one end, a cafe attended by a troupe of perfumed waiters.
Oh.
Mm. I don't like perfume
waiters.
On a waiter.
Yeah,
so
not with
I
food.
It interferes with the food.
It's just
not
like,
your job to smell good for them.
You
smell
would never,
neutral.
You would never put scented candles on a restaurant table.
No,
you
it's
know,
a terrible idea.
You don't, I don't want a perfumed waiter. I'm so with you. I want them to reek of body odor. Leave your deodorant at home.
You're like, oh, God, compared to that guy's BO, this smells so good.
I'm going to sit in the tightest booth so she has to reach over me a lot.
His orchestras were very large, containing as many as 48 violins, 14 cornets, and a dozen trombones.
Oh.
What's a cornet?
It's one of those...
it's a little bugle horn,
yeah,
basically.
Oh.
Musard was the first celebrity conductor, despite his yellowish complexion, short and portly stature, prominent scarring due to smallpox, and his overall unkempt appearance.
Oh.
Wow. He sounds like he had jaundice.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Danny DeVito with jaundice.
Or if you eat too many carrots, too, that can make your skin turn orange.
Yeah. He always dressed in all black and would often use his hands, feet, arms, and knees with wild abandon to conduct his orchestra.
Feet, yes.
You with the violins over there, yes. Look at my little toe.
He pulls out a tiny foot violin, plays it with his feet.
He would often utilize sound effects in his pieces, including the breaking of chairs and
yes.
shots from a pistol.
I want to be that guy who just is like waiting for his cue to play the chair. What do you play? The chair.
I smash the chair.
Concert goers were often taken over by his music, where all decorum would be left behind.
Woo!
Yeah!
Take it off your
clothes! Fuck decorum! Fuck decorum and fuck each other!
Yeah. Look how many panties I got!
Yeah.
It's a devil's orgy tonight, baby!
The audiences would dance, convulse, and gyrate uncontrollably to the beat.
And communicate with aliens.
What do you want to do tonight? I want to get out there and convulse.
Well, you know, the next morning when they woke up with like hangovers and they saw who they're with, they're like, oh, it must have been the devil. Mm. There would be no other way for me to do this.
Can't
but
take
you...
responsibility for this choice.
Yeah.
But you looked great convulsing last night. Like, whoa.
So great.
That guy Derek was like so into your convulsions. He was like moved by it.
Top-notch gyration.
As Rob's pickup line in a bar. Top-notch gyration.
You score high marks.
No.
Would you like to come to an amusement park? We're not going to go on any of the rides. We're just going to talk about the physics behind them.
His reputation was captured in poems and articles. One saying... This infernal Moussard, it is Satan who leads the dance.
Uh-oh.
And that's really all the information on Moussard.
What was his first name?
Philippe Moussard.
Philippe Moussard.
It could be Felipe.
I don't know. It's with an F?
It's with a PH.
Uh-oh.
One L. Two Ps. And then an E on the end, you know, to give it some character.
Philippe Moussard.
Does the E have a little guy on a little hat?
I don't have the hat in my notes, so I'm going to say no. All
right.
It was a hatless Philippe.
Not that.
What are you talking about?
To make it like Felipe.
Oh, yeah.
The hat? Are you talking about the accent?
Yeah.
Yeah, the accent.
Yeah.
The hat.
What kind of hat did it have? It was the one that goes forward or the backwards hat? Slanty, not slanty.
And honestly, it couldn't. I just typed this, so I don't
There's
take
no
the time.
Now.
Not even for yourself to proof it and edit it and have a finished product fit to show other people.
The accent aigu is not for podcasts.
It's not
for the listening audience.
Accent aigu? Okay.
You have that sweet accent aigu?
What are you talking about?
That's the thing on a French E. I took
you know
1 year of French.
Okay, fair. No, that's good. I mean, I know that it's a tilde in Spanish. So, It is what it is. You learn these things.
It's true.
We should.
Guys, Robert's kind of smart. I don't know if you
know. I mean, if we had been talking about umlauts, you would have known.
Oh, I don't know what umlauts are. But I'm not going to tell.
I'm not telling.
I couldn't find any of his music.
Okay, yeah. Because
I really want to hear what it sounds like that these 16th century people or
got
whatever.
Down to.
Yeah, or 17th, whatever century.
Again,
it's mid-19th.
He was saying that Satan was making them dance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ancient aliens dance.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
I'm
he
glad you were here for that.
Throwback to Ariana's episode.
Yes.
Did aliens start dancing?
And
is
Satan
an alien? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Is Satan an alien?
Mm-hmm.
These are questions we ask.
High mystery, asking the hard questions. Yeah, get on our Patreon page. Help send Tristan to Poland with a compass.
Also buy the compass.
Yeah.
I'll go sit on some trees, pretend I'm a Bigfoot.
All right, well, you know, take that devil, put him back in hell, because we close out this episode of High Mystery. I'm Robert.
I'm Colin.
I'm Ariana.
I'm Tristan.
And I'm Holly.
And we are so thankful that you listen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is a podcast.